Hi, and welcome to Healthy Vibes for Women with me, Dani Adekunle, a podcast for women over 40 who want to lose weight without dieting, and a podcast also that addresses wellness and mental health. On today's episode, I am joined by Marty Langlui. She's a mom, and she also survived a stroke during her pregnancy.
I'm Marty Langlui. I'm a Christian women's health coach, and I help moms and busy women lose weight through the tenets of faith, food, fitness, and fun, all of which are the key principles of living an overall holistic and healthy lifestyle. To lose weight, keep it off, find energy, get a good night's sleep, and overall enjoy life.
Okay, thank you so much for that introduction. We had quite a lovely chat before we came on, didn't we, really? So yeah, what you said, talk about helping women to lose weight, you know, there's so much pressure on women for the like to lose that baby weight. And what I've noticed is what comes out from the media, not just social media, but, you know, culture and things like that. So realistically, how did you manage to lose the baby weight?
Well, my daughter was born, I had a stroke all related to the pregnancy. Towards the end of the pregnancy, I developed some hypertension due to the weight I gained from the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And after the stroke, I had to go through some physical therapy and occupational therapy to get the right side of my arm active again and functional with strength and mobility. I couldn't write my name on a piece of paper. Oh, I couldn't strum my guitar and do all the other things that honestly I never, you know, I think I took for granted. To include some of the things I wanted to be able to do as a brand new mom. My daughter was 3 weeks old when that happened. And so as I went through the 6 months of the physical therapy, I also started looking at some of my eating habits, which weren't terrible, but wanted to do a better job of making sure I got the greens in and, you know, making sure my plate was well balanced when I would come to sit down and eat. And, you know, I didn't go on a diet or anything like that. And I wasn't even able to go to the gym to do a serious workout because I didn't have my strength and balance and all that to be able to do some of the things I wanted to do at the gym. But was able to do the exercises my physical therapist had me do, my occupational therapist had me do. And within six months, I lost 60 pounds. Just
wow,
those simple things. And have been blessed to maintain it, you know, just to maintain the lifestyle and keep it off. So that is my story. And, you know, just to kind of help women, with my own experience, to, you know, realize that you don't need to, you know, these quick fixes we find and are being shown to us, you know, the 2 week fast or the starvation, you know, starvation diets, cutting out one of our macronutrients. Which can cause you to feel miserable. There's a whole nother way, and you don't have to give up your favorite foods to do it.
Yeah. So and we went sort of like before we came on there, we did talk about the fact that we both kind of shared our experiences on the detox that we went through, you know, detox, and how it actually makes you very, very miserable because you literally like
you put out so much. I did try one of those. One of my friends was selling some products, and you know, she's actually the godmother of my child and took care of my child while I was in the hospital. So I was like, you know what, to support her, let's go ahead and give it a try and see what happens. And yeah, for those 2 weeks I was miserable. Like, I couldn't drink my coffee, and I like my coffee. I don't drink a lot of it, but I like my coffee.
Yeah,
especially that morning one. That one's the most important coffee of my day.
It's the most important for me.
I couldn't
start my day with that coffee. Yeah.
I couldn't eat potatoes. I don't know why. And no bananas and some other things that they said not to eat. I'm just like, first of all, what's wrong with a banana? And yeah, I was starting to get the migraines. I was starting to feel nauseous. You know, I was losing energy and not feeling, wasn't feeling the value of it.
Yeah. I totally identify with the migraines as well, because I mean, I used to suffer from migraines quite a lot, but having gone on that detox made it so bad that it was literally, I like had tears, like really heavy tears running down my eyes. And I felt like someone was putting, you know, the hammer on my head. And, you know, it was just terrible. So yeah, I can totally identify with that. So when you mentioned about eating right and sort of like all of that, I just want to talk about, you know, the eating right and the exercising. So how would you sort of like advise anyone that wants to sort of lose the weight? I mean, for moms, obviously, because this is about moms. Yeah. What advice would you give to the moms?
Well, the first step is to identify first off why you want to do this anyways. Because are you wanting to do it so you can have the Wonder Woman looking body or the bikini body, or is there another reason, something a little deeper? Meaning, like for me, I needed to get my health back because my husband and my daughter depend on me to run the household, and if I'm sick, things fall apart. And I don't want to have another stroke if I can prevent it. So knowing that, now that after looking at that, you know, identify the why and identifying kind of who you are a little bit in that process. Because when it comes to the eating side of things, you know, it's not an all or nothing deal approach. You know, it's not, you can only eat the greens and you have to give up your cookies. No. And it's about the balance. My personal preference is kind of the 80-20 approach. You know, 80% of the time, you know, eat the stuff your body actually needs. Your body is wanting.
That's really good. That's a good point. Yeah.
Your body wants building proteins because the muscles need it. Your body needs some carbs because carbs are its source of energy. That's where it gets its energy. And then the fats for its insulation, other organ production, and all, you know, other aspects of the body. And then, you know, there's always a time and a place for the cookies, the time and a place to have some pizza, go get a burger. If you're wanting that, because honestly, to give up that stuff can make life miserable. And if you're stressed out, it's not gonna matter what is on your plate if you're wanting to lose weight. If you're already stressed out, what happens is your digestive system essentially shuts down and cannot digest the food you're eating. So you can eat, you can have a really good salad in front of you, but your body's not going to be able to reap the benefits of it. So that's one piece, is to identify your stressors, identify your whys, and identify the things that, you know, what makes you. You know, especially in the Christian perspective of things, you know, we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And especially as women, we have a special place in this world. We do things that our male counterparts cannot do.
Very true.
They have things we can't do, but the way our bodies are designed, we have the ability to carry a child. We have the ability to, we have this, even this natural ability to love just based on how we are made. And if we can go back to understanding that when God created us in his image and likeness, he said we are very good. We are already good. We're already beautiful. You're already beautiful.
Yeah, beautifully, you know, wonderfully made.
Beautifully, wonderfully made, right. And coming to that core of who we are, if we know that this body is given to me by God and the Lord is dwelling in it, I'm going to take care of it.
Exactly.
Because how else is he going to spread? If he wants to use me to spread the gospel, I need to keep the body healthy to be able to do that.
Right. Exactly. And I think what it is, sometimes we as Christians, we have this tendency to over spiritualize stuff as well, and then we kind of say that, oh yeah, you know, I, for example, we were talking earlier that some people will say, oh, I want to lose weight, but, and I'm believing God that I will lose that weight. You want to lose the weight, but you're not actually making, you know, taking those steps to lose the weight. Yes, God has given us the wisdom to do it, but what about you? What steps are you taking to lose that weight? Because God, you know, like you rightly said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're also the temple of God. How can we be? We can't really be instruments to be used by God if we're not taking care of our bodies, because it's our responsibility to take care of our bodies.
Right. And then on the exercise side, you know, people think that you have to go work out at the gym and do cardio for like an hour and a half, or beat your body into a pulp with weightlifting or whatever it is they do. You know, and if that is how someone is, that, if that's a way someone likes to work out, that's perfectly fine. I mean, but it's finding a way in which you to move your body in a way that feels good, right? So for example, my mom does yoga. I've gone to some yoga classes with her. I definitely can see the benefits of yoga, but it's not for me.
Exactly.
I personally like to go running, and I do enjoy some strength training. I'd rather go, and plus I'm not a big, you know, because I'm around a lot of people, you know, at least at home, I'm around a 2-year-old, I'm around my husband. I don't want to be around people. Mm-hmm. I love people, but I need time away from people.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's where I feel good in moving my body. I've got a friend who's a Zumba instructor, and I've done that, and I'd rather do that than the yoga, but she likes to do the dancing and the salsa and all that stuff. That's how she enjoys moving her body to keep it healthy and keep it fit. And that's really the trick. I'm working with somebody right now, and we're trying to identify, how do you like your body to move? I like kayaking. Great. Go do that.
Yeah.
I mean, kayaking's a great work. I mean, I remember doing that, and the exercise was, I mean, my upper body was sore for a few days. So, yeah, you can definitely get something out of that.
Yeah. And I think what it is just people sort of like not realizing that sometimes some of the things that, you know, that you like doing, like you said, hobbies, you can turn that into a workout, into a form of exercise. For example, somebody who likes to dance.
Right.
Why not?
Dancing, oh my goodness. Is good.
You burn a lot of energy. Gardening?
I mean, yeah. I remember when I started doing my friend, at first I was like, not so sure about doing the Zumba thing. Because I'm like, yeah, right. You're just dancing. I did it, and first off, I'm sweating.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh goodness, that was a workout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even, you know, learning, even just ballroom dancing, there's a lot of muscle, you know, you're training the muscles to move in that certain way. And especially, you know, when you're wearing your heels and stuff, there's some skill that goes into there.
Goes in that,
too. For sure. And I mean, it's a great way to move the body.
Yeah.
And you know, and I know for moms, sometimes we're like, well, I have this kid, I can't go do something. Well, one of the things I've started to do more recently was, after every day after dinner, I take my daughter out for a buggy ride.
Uh-huh. Well, there we go.
And two reasons. One, sun, getting at least 20 minutes of sun can help you get a good night's sleep every day. And I figured, well, if it helps me get a good night's sleep, I'm taking her out to get some 20 minutes of sun. Because if she sleeps, I sleep.
Yep.
So, plus, she enjoys the stimulation. I mean, we're in the Florida area, being able to see some neat birds. She likes the kitties and the squirrels and, you know, all that stuff. So, and, you know, so there, and it is a bonding time for us. Am I getting my running in at that time? Not really, but I'm getting a walk in. I'm getting fresh air. I'm getting some sunlight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, again, it's what works for you. You know, work, if you kind of like think that going for a walk is fine, and just doing things that makes you move and you're active.
Right, right.
And I think that's what matters. And like you rightly said, not everyone wants to go to the gym. For me, I don't like the gym. I work at my home. It works for me and I enjoy it. So it's all down to doing what you enjoy, but moving your body and moving your body from the support of there and not just sitting still, for example, you know, during the lockdown, people sitting at home, like, just go out for a walk or change your scenery.
Yeah, I mean, people are talking about this whole thing of, oh, we gotta stay inside, and you know, and I'm like, well, they told us we can go for a walk. They've done the research saying that the sunlight can kill the virus. So I was like, well, first off, when I go out for my run, there's no one nearby me, so I don't have to wear my mask. And I'm not going to, unless someone comes by me and wants me to wear it for some strange reason. Someone's out there at 6:30 or 7 in the morning with me. Okay, fine. But, you know, it was learning how to, okay, how do I work with the guidelines and still live my life in that department? So I was like, well, we can still go for a walk. We don't need to go with a big group to do that. You know.
Yeah. So moving on from that, when we talk about walking it, and then we were talking before we came on about food, and obviously that's a big issue. That's a big issue with moms, is when are they gonna find the time to, yes, we talked about the exercise, but we also know that you have to eat healthy as well. So they go hand in hand. What advice would you give to moms in terms of healthy cooking, because they've got to cook for the rest of the family and they still want to eat healthy, sort of like to lose the baby weight, obviously. But so how can they make time to do that in between maybe having to cook meals for the family and then cooking a healthy one as well?
Well, honestly, the first approach is understanding that the healthy lifestyle actually can benefit not just you, but the rest of your family. That's the first bit is to consider. And no, I'm not gonna, my husband, he is a steak and potatoes guy.
Okay.
So, you know, the vegetables are important to him, but it's not the food he's looking for. So we found ways to maintain that balance throughout the week. And of course, you know, the person cooking is going to decide what we're going to eat. Kind of a situation. If he's going to cook on the grill, if he's going to do something on the grill, then yeah, we might have a steak that night. Okay. So, but then if I'm cooking, yeah, we're going to, you know, we'll look at, you know, we're not going to just live off of salads. I'm not going to make him become a vegetarian or anything like that. Because that just wouldn't work for anybody's benefit. And so, you know, again, it's looking at the balanced plate in that department. And then as far as finding the time, yeah, I mean, I've encountered that challenge too, and I only have the 1 2-year-old. Especially if my husband is having to work late. Well, I do need his help to kind of keep her away from the oven.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, and away from, you know, the stuff I don't need her getting hurt with. Mm. So usually when that happens, either we just say, okay, well, we have, like right now we have some leftover salmon from what we made the other night. So, well, we'll just do some, I mean, the beauty of one of the things we do is we make enough meals for 4 people. There's only 2 of us that are eating it, yeah. But that gives us 2 meals apiece.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can, if we do have that situation where he's running home late, we can just zap something in the microwave. That also, if it comes down to it, it also becomes a healthy lunch for the next day.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. I'm actually an advocate for that, because when you kind of like, I sort of like go do the whole thing with the batch cooking as well, and how you can use how you can cook leftovers in a different way as well. So
yeah, for example, and that's another way to chicken, do it.
You just make, you know, it doesn't have to be just a salad. You can do a stir fry from roast chicken, you know, right. Leftover roast chicken, or you can even do a sandwich, a nice, you know, it's a very lovely sandwich. And not just a boring type with just mayonnaise on it. No. So, you know, you really use all the ingredients that you have at home. I've had to do that in the past, where I've just rustled things up. Because there are going to be days when you really don't feel like cooking. It's going to be that.
And yeah. We've come across that too. One of the things we did do during the COVID pandemic was we decided to start, you know, part of it was we couldn't find certain ingredients we wanted to at the grocery store. Mm. So we also ordered in, we did some HelloFresh. We decided to do a subscription with them. And also the beauty of that is it taught us how to cook, and even in some ways learn how to cook efficiently.
Yeah.
And maintain a healthy, balanced plate. So that's another option you can do. I mean, that one shows you how to cook, but if you're not having the time to cook, that might not be of interest. But there are plenty of options out there nowadays where you can, one of the ones I've done before I ordered in was Freshly, which is a company we have here in the States. And you know, they mail it to you, you put it in the fridge, and you can put it in the microwave, and it's, I mean, pretty well balanced food there. Mm. You know. And then, yeah, there are those times where it's like, well, I don't feel like cooking. He doesn't feel like cooking. That's when we say, well, I guess tonight will be the night we go out to eat for the week, kind of a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that happens too.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's kind of like not, we talked about not the restrictions and also sort of like food, where food doesn't become a thing where I think in a way almost your enemy, because you're trying to be so healthy, and then, like you just said about looking at a salad, and like you don't feel like eating the salad, and really into mm-hmm. your brain is not all about that. And, you know, just learning to love food regardless, and not beating yourself up if you
right.
go on the wagon.
Right. And that's the one bit, you know, we talked about that as well, is when it comes to food, it is about the balance. Mm. And it's, we shouldn't, for some reason, our society has presented food like it's the enemy.
Mm.
When food is a gift from God. Exactly. God gave us food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So if God gave it to us to eat, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because nothing that comes from God is bad. It's all good.
Yeah.
However, we can take advantage of something that is good and turn it and deal with the negative consequences. Again, it's everything in moderation. Mm. You can't sleep all day, but you still need 8 hours of sleep.
Exactly.
Right. You can't work out all day, but you still need to get some exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat Burger King all day, every day, but you can still go get a burger on occasion. Mm. It's your birthday. You can have a piece of cake. You get one birthday every year. You can have a piece of cake on your birthday. And the beauty is, in the rest of the time, you're looking, okay, making sure the body gets what it needs. The body has certain foods and nutrients it's looking for just for its basic functions.
Yeah. And then that kind of like leads me to what we alluded earlier, was that when you, if you need protein, our body needs protein, and, you know, we need carbs as well. So you've got all this information that's out there saying, don't eat carbs and all of that. And I did cover that in one of my podcast episodes as well, you know, sort of like saying you can't eat this, but, you know, we, like you rightly said, we need these things. We need these things for our well-being. Well,
and I think people have a misunderstanding of carbs too.
Mm.
You know, I remember I brought some pomegranates to the physical therapy office I was being treated at, and I was like, here, pomegranates are good for you.
Yeah.
And one of the individuals at the desk said, oh, I don't do carbs. I'm like, it's a piece of fruit. I'm not giving you cookies. It's a piece of fruit.
What's wrong with that?
And that's the dilemma we're facing. It's like, well, I can't eat carbs. Well, you do realize that is what your body is looking for. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the refined carbs. We're talking about the fruits. We're talking about your vegetables. We're talking about even some kind of grain in there if you're able to eat that. So, and that's the part that we're having this made, and the fats are getting this whammy too of, well, you can't eat a lot of fat. Like, I had someone say they were on a low-fat diet. I was like, what do you mean by a low-fat diet? Oh, I can't eat fried food. Okay, that's awesome. That you don't want to eat a lot of anyways. But avocados have good fats in it. Eggs have good fats in it. You know, there's a lot of nuts have good fats in it that your body actually uses for its functioning. So
how then, I mean, we've covered all of that. Now, how then can women to like learn to just love their bodies and not always compare themselves to, you know, the usual stereotype? Because obviously you as a mom, you had all this, you know, like the your body change and all of that going through the pregnancy and giving birth. So, you know, based on your experience, what would you say to a woman that's out there that's still thinking, oh, you know, I've got this flab here, I've got this, you know, cellulite, and I've got this blah, blah, blah. And I hear it so many times. And they can say, oh, you're so slim, Danny. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I can't compare myself to you because I haven't given birth to a child. You've done something amazing, you know?
And that's the first bit. Because, I mean, I still have some of the leftovers from the pregnancy, if you will. You know, I still have some stuff on my low back that I'm like, I'm not sure how to target that. But, you know, I've allowed myself to remember, well, my body did something pretty amazing for 9 months.
Mm.
And this is, you know, it's the side effect we don't look forward to, but we forget and have to humble ourselves a little bit, I think, and understanding someone else lived in our body. Our body was a home for somebody else for 9 months.
Oh, I like the way you put that, Ashley.
And it had to make room for that person,
because
that person grew and grew
for 9 months.
Thank God to get out of there after 9 months, because there's no more room.
Exactly.
At some point, you know, we all look for, you know, I got to the point for us where we're like waiting for her to come. It's like, I'm getting ready to give her eviction notice. It's time to get out of there. But yes, we are making a home for her or him.
Yeah.
And
or them. If it's or them.
Them. God bless those mothers. But yes, your body became a home for them. And, you know, like any home, it, you know, if you want to make your house bigger for people, you got to, you know, expand it. And then eventually you have to live with the possibility of, well, you're not going to, once it expands, it might not shrink down, at least not to the way you want it to shrink down. And yeah, the comparison bit is, you know, you have your journey, I have my journey in the process. You know, we're going to go at our own pace. And we all have our own, you know, family histories and the you know, that can come into play here. Our different body types. You know, we have to understand that I got kind of blessed being the tall, skinny person throughout the course of my life, you know. But, you know, and, you know, I was a basketball player in high school, but, you know, I look at a classmate of mine, you know, kind of a softball body built, thick and solid muscle. I mean, seriously. So that's something to also to consider is what you're doing mostly with your body is how it's going to adapt. But yeah, the first bit is learning to love what you see in the mirror. And that's not always easy. Before you put the makeup on, you gotta love the person before you put the makeup on.
That's so good.
And the flab that comes with it, because that's you. That's you. If you know, especially as a Christian, you know, and as a mom, if I were to walk by the bathroom and hear my daughter when she's a teenager look at herself in the mirror, not like what she sees. Can you imagine how that's how that impacts God?
Oh gosh, yeah. You're saying that God has made something not so great.
God knows, yeah, he knows that. I mean, again, we have to also understand he designed the woman's body to do this. Okay. But again, to love the person, I mean, God never said you're crap. God never said that part of you doesn't belong. You did.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. And I think a lot of times is one of the things I've learned is you have to love the fat on your body to lose the fat on your body.
Wow. You were really throwing some things in there.
You have to love it to be able to lose it.
Okay.
And because a lot of times when we see it stresses us out. I mean, a lot of times that's why it's not going anywhere. It's because we're not allowing ourselves to the body to do what it needs to do because our minds are getting in the way.
Yeah. So obviously it's kind of like a mindset thing. And then, you know, there is also that bit when, you know, I'm kind of like now it's just made me, has just given me the next question to ask now. You know, you said about loving ourselves and things like that. How then do women get their husbands on board? You know, husbands, if you're listening, I hope my husbands are listening too, because, you know, to get them on board to sort of like say to them, you know, support their wives and also make them feel good about themselves. Because women, you know, we do have our insecurities. A lot of women have those insecurities. There's always things about stuff. It's not necessarily just because you're a mom. Even way before that, you just alluded to the fact that when your child becomes a teenager, it all starts from a very young age when we start having insecurities. So how can the men reassure their wives and say, you know what? Yes, you are not the same woman that I met. You know, you're not the same woman. You're not the same woman that you are now. That woman that I met, like, however many years ago, you were, like, slim and you were this and da 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 da. How can they then reassure them that, you know, just to make sure that they feel good about themselves?
Well, first off, I think the man needs to also have some sort of understanding of what the body has had, their wife's body has had to go through. And unfortunately, they don't have the practical experience to know what happened. And even, you said since we're a young age, from just need to want to fit in with whatever the celebrity body type is in high school, kind of a situation. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, big or small, you're still a woman and you're still beautiful. I mean, a lot of times I think we need to hear that more. We need to hear it from them. And it's not saying we need them for our self-esteem. It's saying, hey, you know, am I beautiful enough for you? Kind of a question that I think a lot of the times that comes up in our minds. And then the second piece is sometimes, you know, and I've had to really establish this on my end and clarify with my husband, what do I need to take care of myself? I said, you know, one, I was like, my two pillars are my church and my gym. Okay. And when COVID happened, I lost both my church and my gym.
Like the rest of us.
So I had to figure out, how do I adapt accordingly and still maintain the things that matter to help me to feel healthy, and in many ways also have helped me to look healthy, I hope. You know, so yeah, we had to look at, well, how do we do church? Well, we had to find some streaming service somewhere, someone that was filming in church, and you know, and I have my prayer time, you know, very diligent, take it focused every single day, saying, hey, yeah, I mean, I remember when we were moving, we ended up moving from Alamogordo to Florida in the middle of COVID.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So we were staying in this little bungalow place, literally probably maybe a little bigger than the apartment you described. And he's off at work. I'm with this two-year-old from 6 to 4:30 every single day and not really able to go out and go do anything. And I said, you know, and even having to explain to him, yes, I love my daughter. I love you. But I also need time away from you guys. So, you know, when I had to explain to him, yeah, I want to be able to, I know I can't really do everything I want to do right now, but at least I would like to figure out how I can get out of the house at least once or twice a week just to go for a run at the nearby park that was there at the time. Because otherwise, I mean, I'm not claustrophobic, but I was feeling claustrophobic. And I was like, I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I need to go do something that is just me. And it's not anything that's expensive. It's not, I'm not trying to be high maintenance and saying, well, I need to go take care of myself. I'm not talking about your quarterly massage or quarterly spa date, you know, with yourself. I'm talking about something that I need to do to sustain me throughout the week. Yeah. And if possible, even every day. So, and that's something to consider, that we do need, I mean, yeah, our job is, and priority is to our household, our you and our kids. And we, in order for us to be the best version of ourselves for you, we need to fill that up.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and a lot of times, being able to engage in our hobbies, like we were talking about, can help us remind ourselves of our value that is beyond what we see in the mirror. And then we start to see the beauty of that person. And, you know, all of a sudden, we start to love the body we have.
Yeah. And I think, again, just adding to that, is just kind of, it all comes down to well-being as well. Sort of like your well-being. And here in the UK last week, we had the Mental Health Week. So it's that affects as well. And
yeah,
and I kind of think, you know, when women don't really look after themselves, like you rightly said, you just went away to do stuff somewhere. It is probably, well, I'm not an expert, obviously, but I think it kind of probably plays towards the post stress as well that women have to go through as well. Postnatal stress, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, so I think that kind of plays a part in it as well, you know. So yeah, I think, you know, just go away, like you said, just go and do stuff by yourself. And I know someone who does that once in a while. She's just kind of like, says, you know what, I just need some time to myself. And she just goes for a walk, nothing else. Just maybe just goes to meet up with her friend and just go for a coffee. Just have that time, because then she comes back refreshed and she's able to then look after the family and do all the things that she needs to do. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think, especially the mothers, you know, it was amazing watching how we approach the essential workers and all that stuff. Mm. And in some ways, I think in our society, and I don't know, I can't speak for the UK, but at least in America, sometimes it seems like we've forgotten mom.
Oh gosh, it's kind of a thing here as well. So yeah, sometimes
we forgot mom. We know mom, okay, and of course the joke of, oh, mom's not really working, or, you know, like, excuse me. You want to trade jobs? So
yeah,
I mean, we have this 24/7 non-stop job, and I mean, we don't really get a holiday off.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take a day off from taking care of my child.
You don't get paid for it.
No, I'm still waiting for my bonus from her. So because in a way, I mean, in many ways, our lives become revolved around them. I mean, this 2-year-old, I mean, the little joke we had was, she's the youngest dictator in the world. If she doesn't have what she wants when she wants, all hell breaks loose.
So
there is the need to be able to have the time to step away from that so we can be able to come back and deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And they don't understand, I think, the burnout that comes into play. I'm not even at the point of taking my kid to school or extracurriculars yet, and I feel it.
I feel it.
And I have to have it figured out then learn how to adapt when those changes happen. Otherwise, I'm gonna have problems. And it has a way, you know, the stress and you know, it has a way of affecting the whole family. It's amazing how, like, even growing up, when my mom was, if my mom ever got sick from something, it was like the whole house shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
it's all about the atmosphere, isn't it? That one. It's so kind of like strange in a way that one person would just bring everyone else down in a way, just because of they're feeling so bad and what they're going through. So yeah. And some people also, they're like saying, you got to thread on eggshells because, oh gosh, here comes mom. Don't want to upset her, kind of thing.
Because mom, and not just that, but like I said, when mom is not feeling well, it does affect the rest of the house.
Mm.
You know, if mom's not feeling well or isn't healthy, I mean, knowing what she does, I mean, I'm just thinking of everything my own mother did for us. Man, I'm not sure how our house, you know, would have functioned, you know, if, you know, she had to take her day off, kind of, and she did have, you know, she made sure she got her, she did do some running. She, you know, had some time with her, you know, found some friends to go hang out with and all that stuff. But yeah, I think to understand that, I mean, we only can give so much until we have an empty tank.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right?
And we have to go fill it up to be able to, I mean, again, you can't give someone something you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone wants water, that's great. I have an empty glass right now. I can't give you water until I fill up my glass. I gotta go. Yeah. So... And that's kind of the whole focus, is helping mom. You know, my mission is really, even as I sometimes find myself trying to figure out my own life, helping moms to find that for themselves too, and figuring out which way works for them the best, because every mom is different, and every, you know, the way we, even the way we raise our kids is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to even the hobbies and all that other, you know, all those pieces that come into play, and that there is the need for the mom to be able to express those, experience you know, for her own mental and even the physical health as well, and spiritual. All three need to be met.
Yeah, and yeah, that's kind of like really sort of like profound thing as well, because, you know, and I think as well, you know, we as Christians, we need to sort of always look out for the moms as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they could be having a rough time, and just be there to support in every way we can, and not obviously not necessarily interfering, and, you know,
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes and that's you know, one way you get your husband or spouse to help you out is to help them understand, hey, I mean, you guys get to go, if you wanted to, you get to go have beers with the guys and go watch the game with the guys. We have our things we want to do too.
Yeah.
So then that way we can decompress, we can relax, we can, you know, whether it is going to get a cup of coffee with a friend, or, you know, if you're into it, going to an art show or something, you know, whatever it is that appeals to you.
Yeah. So basically not sort of like putting their lives on hold just because they're moms. That's what it is, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I, even from my husband's grandmother, I've learned, you know, she's 83 years old. She's walks 10,000 steps a day. She does it every single day. She is one amazing person. She starts her day with coffee and ends it with a glass of wine. So, and I mean, she's not doing anything radical or, you know, that you'd have to be concerned about. But, you know, yeah, for some of us, that glass of wine at the end of the day is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to do what works for you, I guess. Yeah. Oh gosh, mm-hmm. We could go on. There's been so much that you've covered already, and, you know, all my questions have been answered. And yeah, it's just been so great chatting to you, and I'm hoping that everyone that's listening is actually getting something out of this, and, you know, just share this with moms out there as well. Let them know that, you know, there is help. And so mm-hmm. before we wrap up, have you got like last minute, well, not so much as last minute, but final comments and thoughts or advice that you want to give to the viewers?
Well, first off is start by learning to love yourself.
Mm.
And I think we, even in the Christian world, sometimes we struggle with understanding what that means, you know. We're like, well, we're always supposed to put our neighbor first. And yeah, and there's some truth to that. But we also have to learn to love the person God made us to be. It's going to be hard to love somebody else if you don't know how to love yourself. For the person, you know, the flaws and all. I mean, there's some issues I have that I wish I didn't have to deal with, but I have to learn just to love me from me.
Mm.
Number two, don't stress out about the diets. You know, first off, they don't work because they don't have a long-lasting change. But to find that healthy balance for you, for me personally, it's the 80-20 approach. Some people might go 50-50 on the healthy and the treat side. Again, it's a matter of figuring out what way of eating is going to work best for your body. For the, you know, when it comes to finding exercise, find an exercise routine or a way that your body likes to move. You know, some people like yoga, some people like Zumba, some people like running, some people like recreational sports. Some moms, if they want to, like cleaning the house. I mean, that's definitely an exercise. And then ultimately have fun. Oh, I think we are so busy and so stressed out that we've forgotten that one element that can make a difference is to be able to have fun with life. I mean, we're so serious. You know, depending on where you're at, if you like to go hiking, go hiking. We have the beach here 3 to 4 miles away, and I look forward to, you know, taking advantage of that. You know, and that's really learning to find that healthy balance for you and what works for you in all four of those areas. Well, and then, of course, the faith piece, you know, connecting, again, reminding yourself that you are God's masterpiece.
Yes.
You're like God's masterpiece. There, I mean, God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make a mess. You know, he makes something special. He makes things good and very good.
Yeah. Makes all things beautiful.
Yes, yeah. He makes all things beautiful, to include the person you see in the mirror every single day.
Yeah. And so how can people reach you if they want to work with you?
They can come to my website at martylangloy.com. And book a call there. They also, if they're not ready to dive into my program yet, they can follow me on Instagram at MartyLangloy11 as well for content and for connecting purposes as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put all of this in the show notes anyway. But thank you so much for this very, very insightful, interesting chat.
For one-to-one coaching, please feel free to email me at healthyvitalwomen@gmail.com. I've also produced printable meal planning bundle, which includes shopping list, tracker sheets, recipe cards, and progress notes. They are all available at my online shop. You can find the details in the show notes. Take care for now, and bye.